Good morning, Governor.
Thank you for having me. I love that. Bob Hope and Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
Who's Johnny Carson?
I don't know, some old guy. You're right, on, right. And Alan wants to talk to you, sir.
Yeah,
I think Alan is Johnny Carson.
No, you're right.
Yeah, that's I only wish, because then I'd have some money. I wanted to ask you a question, Governor. You're getting quite beaten up in some of the press, like the New York Times, for having made this deal with Amazon and the world's richest man to come to New York. Some people are saying that the deal is worth almost $4.2 billion. That's a lot of money for the world's richest man. How do you plead?
I plead frustration. The New York Times editorial, you know, that's a little bit the Wizard of Oz, right? His great booming voice, and then there winds up this little man behind the curtain. They have some great people on the editorial board, but I think it depends on who writes the editorial, mm-hmm. because it comes down to individuals and their opinions. The Amazon deal, this was a national competition that went on for much fanfare. Everybody was competing for it. 54 states, provinces, cities, everyone. They were offering to rename the city. This is the largest single economic development program, right? 25,000 jobs.
Right.
And states were making outrageous bids. Many states and cities made larger bids than ours.
Yes. More than $4.2 billion?
Oh, you had New Jersey offered six.
Wow.
You had states with much lower tax rates offering more. So that's a double benefit, right? Because their tax rate is less, and they were offering a greater incentive against a lower tax rate. We had advantages that they didn't have. But we didn't win this on the numbers. Our bid was not as high. We have other advantages because New York is New York, he says as an arrogant New Yorker. But also, their premise is wrong. We're spending money. No, we're not spending money. What it comes down to is if they came here, we would make, by our current tax structure, about $1 billion a year in revenue by our current tax structure. In the competition, we're competing against states that have no income tax, no corporate tax. So that $1 billion is just the price of admission to New York for them.
But wouldn't we be, I'm sorry, Governor, but wouldn't we be getting that money? In other words, we say, okay, we'll forgive you this, we'll forgive you that. That's money that would come into our coffers, except that we're excusing it. Not only that, but then there's a lot of people who are ticked off that the regular way of doing this kind of stuff, you know, the local real estate permitters and everybody else are being cut out of the deal so that, you know, behind closed doors, you guys could make a marriage here.
Yeah, but let's stay on point one. If 25,000 people move to New York, average job salary $150,000, mm-hmm. you will make $1 billion. If they don't come to New York, you get zero. We say our quote-unquote incentive is instead of giving us $1 billion a year, give us $900 million, $100 less, okay? We win on that basis. So our current tax structure would call for $1 billion. They're going to give us $900 million instead, and they come. Now, people say, oh, you spent $100. No, we didn't spend $100. We made $900. If they don't come, Alan, we get nothing.
But what if, just what if, you're displacing a lot of people. There was supposed to be affordable housing being built there. What if the social consequences in both Arlington and New York are negative? people have to move. You know, these guys who really don't need $4.2 billion one way or the other, no matter how you define it, are getting it.
No, you could say, you could have said early on, I'm not interested in you coming here. Mm-hmm. Keep your 25,000 jobs. Keep your input in the tech center. Go somewhere else. Go to Florida. Nobody said that. Nobody. As a matter of fact, the same politicians who now are responding to nervous neighbors, they all signed a letter supporting the application for Long Island City. And one is not the enemy of the other. This is building on currently basically vacant, underused space.
Well, could it be used for something else, Governor?
Sure.
Like affordable housing?
Sure. Now you just need the money to build the affordable housing. The sensible conclusion is, A, this is $900 million that you didn't have before. Now, you want to talk about how to use the revenue? That's a fine conversation. But, Alan, they displaced nobody. You're $900 million ahead of where you were. You have a big tech sector leader, $150,000 jobs. They're doing all sorts of good things for the communities. They're working with the local public housing authority. You're going to get a new school built, and you're getting $900 million.
Well,
it cost you $100. No, it didn't cost us $100. We make $900. And if we didn't offer them any break from one of the highest tax states in the country, they would have gone somewhere else. And by the way, if they had gone somewhere else, the editorials would have said, oh, my God, I can't believe we lost. Welcome to my business, Alan.
But yes, and I'm glad I'm not in it. But there is a question to me as to the world's one of the world's most crowded cities, expensive cities, and it's going to get more expensive, and the housing stock is going to get more rare. How do we answer that?
Use part of the $900 million to build affordable housing. There's virtually nothing on this site. I'm an old Queens boy. This was Long Island City. It's old factory site, basically. So it's not that you, and by the way, this site has been sitting there for decades. It's part of what's called the Queens West Project, which is development of the Queens waterfront. My father started Queens West. It was supposed to be mixed use, commercial and residential. There has been no commercial development. There has been residential, but no commercial. So it was always supposed to be mixed use.
So what about the rest of the city, Governor? What about an apartment in New York used to be $2,000 a month, might be $5,000 a month because, you know, there's so little of it and there are so many new people coming in?
Well, you want jobs coming in, right? The economy is what pulls the train. You want people coming in and paying taxes so you can do good things. For anyone to say, we don't want 25,000 tech jobs that pay $150,000. By the way, nobody says that because we just spent a year with this heated competition where everybody was competing for this. This was the prize. All of our upstate cities were competing. Every state virtually was competing. Nobody says no to 25,000 high-tech jobs. Now, it annoys people that Bezos, an important corporation, should get any reduction from our tax rate. They would have gone somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's called the market. And if our taxes are 10% in New York City, and they can go to Texas and pay zero, they go to Texas.
So why didn't they do it?
And they go to Florida.
Well, you know, they want to come to New York because it's New York. They want to come to Arlington because it's Washington. I get that. But maybe, just maybe, they would have been better. New Yorkers would have been better off if they did go to Texas. How's that for a spurious argument?
That's a spurious argument. And you lose $900 million. And the site that has sat vacant for decades continues to sit vacant. And one of the leaders in the tech economy goes somewhere else.
Okay.
By the way, that is the problem that we have faced, right, is loss of jobs to other parts of the country.
We have. Let's go to a different place, if we may. It's snowing outside.
Yes.
Are you happy with the way in which the city, which came to a gridlock, we don't know why, much of upstate, over five-inch snowstorm? What's going on?
Well,
you're responsible for that.
Upstate, the buck stops on my desk for everything. Lightning, tornadoes, hurricanes.
Right. As it should.
Making $900 million. The upstate, it's a different reality than what happened like in New Jersey and New York City, where I think they got hit harder than they were expecting. We haven't had significant issues upstate beyond the average fender benders, et cetera, that you would have. We were ahead of this. You know, unfortunately, Alan, no governor has had the experience dealing with emergencies that I have had for two reasons. First, I did the emergency work when I was on the federal side at Department of Housing and Urban Development. I worked on emergency response around the country, around the world. But no governor has had the number of emergencies that I've had. We didn't have tornadoes, floods, Hurricane Sandy, Superstorm Sandy. This never happened before. So I came with experience, but I've gotten a lot more than I would like. And that's why when people argue against climate change, 500-year floods, yeah, except they happen six times a year. But we have the equipment, we have the training, and I'm satisfied with what we did upstate. New York City, New Jersey, the snowfall was higher than predicted. And I'm not really sure about I'm in Albany, so I don't really know firsthand how it was in the city. I know my brother was lamenting about it on TV last night. But
Is that a shot?
That was not a shot. That was a factual statement. He and
okay.
Don Lemon were lamenting about the weather. He laments.
Sounded like a shot.
No, he likes to. He's a lamenter. My brother is a lamenter, Alan. You know Chris a long time. He is a. But really, it was Don who was complaining more about it. But I think the snowfall was higher in Jersey and New York City than they were anticipating, and I think it came down faster.
Okay, let's change the subject because I don't have you forever, that's for sure, and we're very delighted you're with us. The question is, the state legislature wants a raise. You say they deserve a raise, and so do your commissioners, and probably you. But in the past, I admired your... you're holding out to say, okay, but then you have to do what the U.S. Congress does, no business on the outside, because we know that's the basis of corruption. So you've changed your mind. How come?
No. The pay commission, I've not changed my mind. The first, I do believe they deserve a raise, as I've said repeatedly.
Right.
I do believe there should be reforms. I do believe there should be a banning of outside income like the Congress, like the New York City Council, because I do believe that's a fundamental conflict.
Yes, but last time, I'm sorry to interrupt, but last time you said no deal and your commission, which let's face it is a fairly handpicked commission, said no deal unless you ban this outside income, which ought to be done. This time you're not saying that.
Oh, no, I am saying that. And the legislation has performance as one of the criteria for the raise. It says on the criteria that the commissioners must follow. It talks about performance of the legislature. It talks about timely passage of the budget. It talks about reforms. And I've said quite often to the publicly, and I'm sure the members of the commission have heard my opinion, that yes, there should be a raise, and yes, there should be reforms.
Yeah, but they're going to do what you tell them. You know it. I know it.
These, well, Comptroller DiNapoli has said publicly he believes there should be a ban on outside income. He's right. One of the commissioners.
Yes, he is.
And then it's Carl McCall, Bill Thompson, and Scott Stringer, the New York City commissioner. So it's up to them. They have to do a report by December 10th, and then the legislature would have to act by the end of the year to stop their report from becoming law. But I hope and I expect that the commission is responsible, and I would support them doing a pay raise with the reforms.
Well, let's go to another subject. I want to talk about you and a potential competition between you and Senator Gillibrand. Now, in my opinion, both of you are looking at the presidency as a possibility. You're not going to agree to that, but okay, that's what I think. Now, you know, and the old joke is that the worst place you want to be is between Chuck Schumer and a microphone. But I don't know, if I were trying to say the worst place to be with you, it might be between you and the presidency. So now Senator Gillibrand may be there, but that presents a problem because you don't want to fight with her, right?
Senator Gillibrand is a longtime friend of mine. We worked together at the Department of Housing and Urban Development. She came down, did a great job in the council's office. So we're personal friends. I'm a big fan of hers. There is no conflict. We work together very well.
Well, what if you both want to be president?
I want to be governor, though.
Well. You want to be governor until you run for president.
That's your theory, Alan. That's
yes,
your
it
theory.
Is. Yes, it is.
And that's your theory on Senator Gillibrand, who says she wants to be senator, right?
Well, she says she's looking at it. I think she's a slightly bit more honest about it than you are, because you keep saying...
Yeah, okay. Because... Well, that's your theory.
But, yes, it is. Okay.
So, my theory is I'm shoveling snow as the governor of the state is supposed to be.
I got it. Okay, so single-payer health in New York, it would double, right? If you did it in New York, it would double the tax rate. I suppose there have been many estimates. What do you think? Are you going to do it?
I think it is the right concept. I think it is the right direction. I think it is more feasible on a national level. States have looked at trying to do it, Vermont, California, et cetera. None of them,
Massachusetts.
Yes. None of them could come up with a way to essentially finance the transition cost, right? Because you're going from one healthcare system to another. And that's where the doubling of the state budget comes in. Look, I don't think anybody would support it if you had to double the taxes. But I think everybody supports the goal.
Okay. So I take it there's a period there, so I wanted to develop that a little bit more. Now, I don't want you to get angry at me, because the last thing I want is you angry at me. But, and that's never happened. But here's the question. If you were, this is just hypothetical, okay? You ready for hypothetical?
Yes, I'm ready for the hypothetical. I don't get angry. It's without purpose. And age is one.
Okay, so... Hypothetically, if you were the president of the United States, got it? This is hypothetically. I'm not trying to get you to commit anything. But if you were the president of the United States, would you be for Medicare for all?
Oh, look, single payer, Medicare for all. There is no doubt that that's the direction we have to move. And as a nation... It is much easier to transition than as an individual state. By the way, as an individual state, to do it, you have to get a federal Medicaid waiver that would allow us to use our federal Medicaid in a way that the law does not now allow, which this administration would not do. This president would sooner become a flaming hair liberal than give us a Medicaid waiver to go to single payer. So it's almost impossible to see the federal government doing that. But I believe in the goal and I believe in the direction. There is no doubt.
I like
and I think it's going to be a big issue in the presidential, and it should be.
I like the metaphor or the allusion to the flaming hair liberal.
It's flaming hair liberal.
Flaming hair liberal.
I'm going to leave it right like that because I like it too.
Okay, let's start. Let's talk about today's editorial in the Albany Times Union that says the New York Attorney General should have greater investigatory powers to look into corruption in state government, which you, sir, supported as the Attorney General. So what do you think now, especially since you have an Attorney General who is, you know, fairly close to you in Tish James?
The Attorney General is in many ways the greatest job in state government. I loved being Attorney General. In some ways, you have, it's the greatest opportunity to just do good affirmative things. You have some legal constitutional responsibilities, defense of the state, et cetera. But it's really a great place to do affirmative things without having to worry about things like snowstorms and Amazon. This AG I'm very excited about. People underestimate, I think, Tish James and the legal quality she's going to bring to the office. She also knows the problems that people are facing in a way many people don't appreciate. So I'm very excited about Tish as the Attorney General. I'm very excited about working with her. On the corruption issues, the Attorney General can be a very powerful vehicle. And I didn't have the greatest relationship with the governor when I was an Attorney General. The governor was Elliot Spitzer. And I think it's fair to say we had a mixed relationship. But I'm going to have a very, I think very highly of Tish James. And any way I can support her, I will. And I think the AG can be a very big player in fixing corruption. I think, however, the best solution is first a legislative solution. The banning of outside income, Alan, it will be a game changer.
It would, yeah. I was
speaking to someone the other day. I remember going back to Stanley Fink's days when I was a 20-something, sitting in the conference room, listening to my father go back and forth with Stanley Fink, God rest both their souls, on what should actually happen with the legislature and how it's an inherent conflict if they're in a law firm or a business consultant, et cetera. And that's been now 40 years, 50 years. So I think the pay commission's opportunity, ethics reforms that we can do in January, the LLC loophole, I think these would be fundamental legislative solutions that will really get ahead of the corruption issue. So you don't have to worry about catching it because you're preventing it.
Okay, fine. But the Tish James thing is, one of the raps on her during the election was that she was your candidate and that she's not going to really look at the whole picture, that she's going to, you know, be too friendly with you.
She was not my candidate. I don't think I had three conversations with her before she ran. That might be slightly over-dramatized. But she is not my candidate before this race, given the options in this race. You know, you had a lot of good options. I thought Sean Patrick Maloney is a great public servant. Had a lot of talent, but I think, and he's a friend, and I think he has a bright future. But I thought in this race, Tish James was my choice. But there's no pre-existing relationship that is going to suggest anything other than at this time, in this moment, I endorsed her as a stronger candidate.
Now, I don't want to tick you off. That's the last thing I ever want to do. But one of the black marks on your record so far is the disbanding of the Moreland Act Commission. You had an attorney general who was going along with you, Scheiderman, and who co-created that. Should we have a Moreland Act Commission again? And this time, would you let it go?
The Moreland Act Commission The fundamental misunderstanding there was the Moreland Act Commission was impaneled because we couldn't achieve reforms that I was trying to get the legislature to enact. I said publicly many times,
yes, you did,
you have to do X, Y, Z, or I'm going to do a Moreland Commission. They wouldn't do X, Y, Z.
And what were the X, Y, Z very quickly, Governor?
They were basic ethics reforms, disclosure of outside income for conflicts reviews, J-Corp jurisdiction.
Okay.
And they wouldn't do it. I impaneled Moreland. We went through a very painful period where the Moreland was highly disruptive to the legislature. The legislature came back and passed XYZ. I said, if you pass XYZ, I will terminate the Moreland Commission.
Yeah, but some people thought there were some people thought that the Moreland Act Commission was getting to the meat of things, and that that's when they got KO'd.
Yeah, I know. That is a theory again. I don't know where they get that theory from. I don't know where the facts are on that theory. It's not the reality of the situation. But yes, people said, oh, I think we should keep this going forever. That's not what I had done. What I had done was the Moreland Commission because I wanted to accomplish these reforms. You take your family on vacation to Florida and say we're going for 5 days. They get there, they say, oh, you know what, I'd like to move here. Okay, but that's not why I brought us here. I brought us here for 5 days for a vacation. Well, we want to stay forever. That's a different situation. Now, you can also, I can impanel a Moreland Commission at any given moment. It's not that because you stop one Moreland Commission, you can't start another. I can start a Moreland Commission today if I wanted to.
Well, Governor, I'm getting the signal from Action Central that I have overstayed my welcome here and that they have to move on with other programming, but you've been very generous with your time. I mean, that's a half an hour of your time, and I know what that's worth on a day like today, so I thank you very much for being with us.
No, it was my pleasure. Give me a break from shoveling the snow. You have a good day, Alan. Thank you for having me.
Come. And R.H. Van Alstyne Fine Jewelry, 42 Main Street, Chatham, New York, a full-service jeweler.